done. For example, we don't have enough copies for the members and the committee, etc., etc., with these things that have been changed. So we asked just to wait a few minutes. We'll try and sort out all the problems. And then we'll start moving. Thank you.
Environmental laws applicable will be applicable, and therefore any references in the mineral legislation to environmental issues will be removed, and only the environmental laws will be applicable. But the competent authority to then make decision on those matters would rest with the Minister of Mineral Resources. But that once those decisions are made, then, of course, the appeal rests with the Minister of Environment, so that you make the environmental laws applicable and the appeal authority to be the Minister of Environment. But the decisions that are made around mining, which affects the environment, clearly is done by the Minister, who has the expertise in that matter, taking into consideration the laws applicable to environment. And then if there is unhappiness with how she applies it, then of course the appeal procedure is there to make it work. Now, we've received a lot of submissions from the public. We've looked at all these very carefully, and we've now reached the stage where we are reaching the end of the amendment process. And amongst the three departments, we have agreement except for one matter that is just wrongly worded, which they're rewording to make sure that the intention that we want is captured. And this intention is that, of course, like in all other environment legislation, if matters are not being dealt with, because remember there are a lot of authorities that deal with environment, I think there are about 13 in this country, authorities that have power to deal with environment. So where decisions are not made, we don't want things to stagnate there. Like in all our other legislation, we then create a right to intervene. That after certain processes are followed, then our minister can intervene to make sure that these things came to him. Now, those are some of the things that we're just sorting out with making sure that the wording is agreed to. But all the other things, we've reached a stage where this committee has discussed it, are happy with it. We're going to look at final wording of these matters and then deal with that issue. So that's where we are with this matter. Obviously, our time frames are not tight, they bloody tight. These matters, remember, still have to go to our party caucuses, have to still be passed, there must be still a debate in Parliament, passed, and then still must go to the NCOP. Now, we're not going to deal with it today, but I also want you to make you aware of it, that as we deal with all three departments, we've looked at all three of their legislations, we've aligned it. Now, the Department of Water did not have a bill here to deal with it. They thought they would not need a bill to amend anything in their legislation. But subsequently, we have found that there is a need to bring an amendment to the water legislation. There's no time to process that through cabinet, so we are going to have a committee bill to deal with that matter. It's a simple matter about appeals. At the moment, appeals in the water sector are with the Water Tribunal, and as you know, to a large extent, that structure has collapsed. And for the appeals in these matters about mining in the water sector, we're now creating an appeal mechanism to provide for that. So that will be a committee bill, which I've asked the department to draft, and we've looked at it already, but there are certain other reports. Because of the committee bill, you also need the approval of Parliament, so those things have been done. Something has been put in front of me here, so I imagine that is what it is. Then the part that we won't deal with today, we have dealt with it before, is the regulation. At the same time as we looked at the three pieces of legislation, we also looked at all, which is unusual, because regulations are usually the preserve of the departments, and they just table it in Parliament for information. But in this case, to make sure that this agreement is met fully, we've also gone through the regulations to make sure that all the regulations are aligned to the legislation, which I say is unusual because you know that regulations are usually only drafted after the legislation. We were not prepared as a committee to accept that at some future time those regulations will be drafted. We wanted to make sure that the intention of the agreement is finalized here. And of course, to make sure that that agreement will stand, we've also provided in the legislation and the regulation that none of those can be amended in any way whatsoever unless all four institutions agree. Your three departments firstly agree, the ministers must agree that they want to amend something, and then of course they table that in Parliament to say that this is what they want to amend, and Parliament will ratify that. Exactly to make sure that this very delicate agreement that we've got between the three departments is kept intact. Because if one department starts tinkering and changing some of those things, then the whole thing will fall flat. So that is just some of the background of where we are, and we're now going to just go through all the final amendments today, and then hopefully refer it to the parties to get them in their final drafted form, send it back to the parties then to try and get mandates so that we can debate it as soon as possible. Chair, I've given that bit of background, but over to you if there's something you want to add.
No, I don't think there's anything that you want to add. Until we get what needs to be finalized on the sections that we discussed and which we agree upon from both committees, satisfied. I don't think.
All right, who's giving the input?
No, Linda will be giving the input.
That's good, Carla.
Thank you, Chair. I have done a presentation, but I can also just take you through the amendment bill and explain the various provisions.
I think
when
you come to the amendments here, just say to us, let's clause so and so, that we can also look at the clause at the same time.
Okay.
But first do the first part of the presentation before we get to the amendments. Presentation is a copy like this. A portfolio committee was briefing on the water. If you look inside, you'll see there's a slide. You got this document? Remember? Got? There's one down there. No, there's one there. See? That's the paper there.
Oh, okay. No, sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
This first document is just a briefing document. You're not going to give that.
No.
All right, so members can look at, you'll see it's two documents. The first one is just a briefing document. It's basically the background I've given you now. So you can read it there, and then we'll come to the slide presentation, which is on the fourth page. Okay? Everyone got it? Okay. That's a good call.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. The purpose of the presentation is just to brief the Portfolio Committee on the amendments that we made to the National Environmental Management Bill and the reasons for the amendments. The bill amends, we tend to forget it because we just focus on one act, but the bill amends the provisions under the National Environmental Management Act, then also the National Environmental Management Waste Act, and the National Environmental Management Amendment Act. And the main purpose of these amendments is to further align the provisions of the environmental, water and mining legislation in order to give effect to the agreement reached between the Minister of Water and Environmental Affairs and the Minister of Mineral Resources. Somewhere in the bill, I will point out to the Honourable Members that we have actually defined the agreement. Okay, the bill read together with the National Environmental Management Act 2008, the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act 2008, and as well as the Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Bill, Development Amendment Bill, gives effect to the 2008 agreement. And it also need to read, of course, with the principal legislation that the amendment bills amend. So it makes it quite complex when one draft. You have to always bear into mind all these other legislation. The agreement entails that the and just to remind the honourable members of what the agreement entails, it entails that the environment, that all environment related aspects would be regulated through one system, which is the National Environmental Management Act 1989, and that all environmental provisions would be repealed from the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act 2002, and this has happened. That the Minister sets the regulatory framework and norms and standards, and that the Minister responsible for mineral resources will implement the provisions of NEMA and the subordinate legislation as far as it relates to prospecting, exploration, mining and operation. That the Minister responsible for mineral resources will issue environmental authorizations in terms of NEMA for prospecting, exploration, mining or operations, and that the Minister will be the appeal authority for these authorizations. That the Minister responsible for mineral resources and the Minister responsible for water affairs agree to fix time frames for the consideration and the issuing of authorizations, rights, permits and licenses in terms of the legislation administered by them, and agreed to synchronize the time frame. That a minister responsible for minerals and the minister responsible for water and environmental affairs agree to fix time frames for the consideration and issuing of authorizations, rights, permits or licenses in terms of the legislation administered by them, and also agreed to synchronize the time frame.
Of course. Here, where there's just a reference to minister, that is in line with our legislation. Our legislation is the equal minister of environment. That's why the others are minister of mineral resources. So when it says minister, it's minister of environment. Should have been a bit clear.
It is important to note that some of the legislation that gave effect to the 2008 agreement is already enacted, and that the National Environmental Management Act 2008 was brought into effect already in 1 May 2009. The provisions as far as they relate to mining will, in terms of Section 14 of that Act, only enter into force 18 months after the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Amendment Act 2008 entered into force, and that was it entered into force last year, 7 June 2013. The two acts will therefore be fully effective on 8 December 2014. Now the impact
that's
of the...
That's only if we don't pass this legislation.
Yes.
If we pass this legislation, of course, that all changes. So that must be made clear.
Okay, the impact of the amendments. Mining.
Yeah, in that legislation, of course, it's amended so far as this legislation amended. The agreement won't kick in until because there will be a different regime that is provided. I'm surprised when I say that.
Chairperson, the reason why I'm looking surprised is that is the intention in us to slightly amend that clause because they are already in effect. So those.
They're in effect, but we in this legislation, in their legislation, they will of course repeal those provisions because those provisions will not kick in December. It will change the regime.
Chair.
I'm worried that
you're
worried.
I'm worried because, Chair, we have repealed Section 13 and the schedule, but we haven't repealed Section 14. If the intention is that we do...
Section 14
is. The 2008 Amendment Act contains two coming into effect provisions.
Yeah.
The one make provision for the coming into effect of that bill, and that was already being brought into effect by the President, except in the
recently.
Yes. And then the other provision makes provision for after 3 years that the function will revert back, and that we have repealed. But
that's what I'm saying. All the clauses where the functions would revert as in that Act, those are now being repealed. I mean, you talk as if this is going to continue. I'm saying no. I thought we had fully discussed this matter and that this is all now, those clauses are repealed in one of these bills that we're dealing with now. I imagine it will be in Minerals' bill because it's their legislation. Ishan, help me, why is Mr. Garlaplug being.
Chair, what we will do, we will make sure if that is the intention that happens.
But we've discussed that that must be the intention. You can't have two pieces of legislation that contradict each other. It is. Okay. That thing is now being flagged. I want to see those amendments that
yes.
I can see that they're done correctly. Okay.
The mining rights permits, environmental authorization and water use licenses will follow the same time frames which have, that is the impact of the amendments. It's the impact of the amendments is actually quite vast, and I've just summarized them, that the mining rights permits, environmental authorizations and water use licenses will follow the same time frames which have been identified in the amendments currently being made to the Environmental Impact Assessment Regulations, and all acts now provide for an internal appeal process, and the appeal timeframes between the acts are aligned and run in parallel. That is, if the committee bill on water is also going ahead, then all the appeal timeframes will run parallel, and it will be 90 days, and they will be all internal processes. At the moment, the National Water Act makes provision for a water tribunal. The appeal.
You haven't got it yet, but what Ms. Garlaplug has just said, I don't know if you can see from there, this will now be the new arrangement. That for the first time in the history of this country, there will be a time frame in which these applications are made. And even if you follow every step, so if appeals are made and so on, the whole step from the beginning to the end is 390 days. Of course, if they're not appealed, then that has become short. And so on. But I don't know why, when we get a copy of this, particularly to members, I know how many of the members do have it, but this is the final full diagram. And as you can see how intricate the whole issue is, to get three pieces of legislation plus regulation amended to provide for this, so that we have one piece of framework that all of us can fit in and all of us understand, even if we don't agree with it, but at least it creates that certainty for the first time in the history of the country that nothing runs parallel anymore. They follow sequentially on each other. You do the one, you do the other within certain time frames. If you don't meet that time frame, clearly there are consequences to it, but otherwise that is it. I think we must get copies of this and make sure that you get it to everyone. I know I've got it, and I know my chair's got a copy, but others should have it.
Thank you, Chief. The appeal time frames or the appeal processes will have strict time frames, And those time frames apply to both the appellants and to the authority that considers the appeal. The appeal process must be finalized prior to the mining right being made effective and the construction commencing. A synchronized system for environmental authorizations between the National Water Act, the NPRDA, the NEMAR, the National Environmental Management Air Quality Act, and the National Environmental Management Waste Act will now exist, and then the systems run in parallel and decisions are issued simultaneously. The arrangement provides for a case study to investigate the coordination of other acts to provide certainty to the developers. The arrangement supports the infrastructure bill in that the timeframes for decision making on environmental authorizations can now be confirmed in the bill and simultaneous submission of applications can be achieved. NEMA in the latest bill now allows for minimum requirements to be introduced, which will provide proactive guidance to applicants for on information requirements and will ensure consistency of information requests between the competent authorities. Within 300 days of submitted an application for mining right, a decision can be issued. Should a decision be appealed, the period before decision making is 390 days. The new regulations will make a provision of automatic closure of the project where the applicant does not meet the time frame. The following amendments were made by the Portfolio Committee after the bill was tabled. The long title was updated to reflect the content of the bill.
Let's just go to the long title. There you are. You can have a look at it. It's not, it's more of a technical nature, but you can see there about 4, 5, 6 changes there. Next one. The long title is the first part of the book.
And the second definition, this slide is slightly out of place here. So I will just go to the text to the amendment bill. We have amended the community, the definition of community, and the reason for the amendment was that there is also a definition of community. This is the definition. Sorry, Chair. I'm with the definition. The amendments made by the committee. The committee made simplified the definition for applicants. That was discussed at the previous committee. The definition for applicant has been simplified. It means a person who has submitted an application for an environmental authorization to the competent authority and has paid the prescribed fee. The tabled bill removes the management of residue stockpiles and deposits from NEMA to the waste bill. So we have now, and that was in the tabled bill, we have now omitted it from this bill. So that amendment that was tabled in the original bill is now omitted. So all residue stockpiles and deposits will be dealt with under NEMA and not under the waste bill. We have done it because of the request by DMR and also by the industry. The Minister of Mineral Environmental Affairs was
there
given...
There will be definitions, but then another bill in the waste bill.
A chairperson, I wonder whether it wouldn't be easier to follow the order of the bill rather than the presentation. If we can go to the amendment bill and I can just...
I have a question about that point that you just made. So I'm saying you remove stockpile and deposits here on their request, but it is now in another bill where you think it belongs better.
It's under the. It was under the National Environmental Management or the National Environmental Management Act. In terms of the 2008 Act, and we have moved it back to the National Environmental Management Act. We removed it with the previous bill to put it under the Waste Act.
It's under the Waste Act, the one that we're looking at the moment.
It's now under the NEMA.
We're dealing with the Waste Bill. We dealt with it yesterday.
Yes.
Those definitions are now in there.
No, we've removed it there.
So where are they then? If you've removed it here and you've moved it there, where are they?
We put it back in Nehemiah. It's back in Nehemiah. But remember, it's in the original act.
You see here, you say, look at the table bill removed the management of residue stock and deposits from Nehemiah to the waste bill.
That's correct.
And I'm asking you now, is it in that waste bill we're dealing with?
No, it's now, it's back in Nehemiah. We omitted the amendment from the
bill. Why did you write here, it's back in Nehemiah? You say it's removing it to the waste bill.
From Nehemiah to the waste bill.
We have originally, in the table bill, we have moved it from NEMA to the Waste Bill, to the Waste Act. And then there was DMR said they don't want to consider these deposits and dumps as waste. It was better to deal with it under NEMA. Now, in terms of the 2008 Act, it's currently under NEMA. So we omitted the table, the amendment from the originally tabled bill.
But to hear what the chairperson is saying, currently what we see in front of us, it says that it has been removed from NEMA to the waste bill.
Yes,
right?
On the tabled bill, the original bill that we tabled. And so we omitted that amendment.
So where is it?
It's now under NEMA.
What is NEMA? Where? Which
the National Environmental Management.
The one that we're dealing with now, the one that we have dealt with, according to what we have dealt with, I can't remember putting the amendments in there. So I'm trying to work out where are these things.
In the current National Environmental Management.
In this bill that we're dealing with.
Now, it is in the original National Environmental Management Act. The text is already amended.
All right, just I'll catch up at some stage.
I think maybe I can help. What she thinks that originally it was in NEMA, in the act, and then the one we're dealing with.
Yes,
it was in this act, and then it was then moved out to the waste bin. But it has now been brought back, so it is not the way it's waited there that flight. So it is in this
bill. No, I think it's in the bill. It's in the
act. We amended
it. We discard that amendment. It's now in the act. Yeah, we don't amend.
In any case, you understand I'm happy, but let's just move on. In any case, it looks like the DG of Minerals is happy. I'll take my cue from him and just keep quiet. No, it's the second language of mine. You know, the second language of Mr. Abada is Gujarati. I know it's the second language of
Chairperson, I think the best thing is to write it down there, to change that language, so that whoever reads it will have an understanding.
Yes.
Please change that slide for us and get us a copy of it. Because and exactly tell us, you know, there are, I don't know how many NEMAs I've passed. So when you say NEMA to me, I just see bills, hundreds of them. It doesn't help me. Is it two, number one, two, three, or four?
Yes.
Okay, you'll fix up that slide, please. Okay. Next one.
The Minister of Environmental Affairs was given the authority to take a decision on application for an environmental authorization if the Minister of Mineral Resources is unable to do so. This will, however, only happen in exceptional circumstances after the process set out in the bill has been followed. We have now amended the text. I don't know whether there is agreement or whether we must come back to the text.
Which clause is this? 24?
This is 24, capital
24
C.
24 is agreed. That's the other one I think.
For capital C.
No, it's a new page 9. So, we have a new page 9.
at the bottom in blue, under B.
Everyone got this new page? All right. You'll see the new part of it is, the first part has just been reworded. The blue, it's 2C, 2 big C, small a, the blue part. That's just a rewording of that clause. The rest of it already we've looked at, but that's the rewording. And it basically says, whenever a decision on an application or an environmental authorization within the time frame applicable to that process is not made, the applicant may apply to the minister to make the decision. Okay? So what that means is that the competent authority in mining issues is, and I want to say this very clearly that people understand this, mining people is also listening. If there is a case where the time frames are not, the minister doesn't make the decision within the time frames allocated, then we are saying we're not just going to leave it like that. At the moment the law just keeps quiet. It doesn't say what happens. So we say, no, in this case, because environmental powers are being exercised by the minister of minerals, if the time frames are not met, then the applicant who made the can then make an application to the minister of environment to say, please make the decision on this matter. So it's not all the powers that are then, it's just for that one application. Then there's a process set out in the bill. You must send a notice to them that you're going to do it within 30 days. The minister must then inquire what is the problem. And then the minister can, of course, if there's no way of dealing with the matter, make the decision after all these processes have been followed, or take any other step. For example, if there's not capacity to make such a decision, and it's a very complicated decision that has to be made, information needed, then can assist with getting that information so that this decision can be made. So that's really what this issue is to make sure that if we want to meet, this has now been worked out very nicely. In real life, of course, it's more messy than this. Now, what we're doing is, wherever we can in this picture, where time frames are not being met, we try and create mechanisms whereby this matter can be expedited or can be helped to be taken. Otherwise, this becomes meaningless. People can ignore the time frame. I mean, we say 390 days, but if, I don't know, I can't remember how long the minister has, but say 3 months, if after 6 months the decision has still not been made, then clearly this whole thing gets messed up. So this is the only thing that this does. It's where the time frames haven't been met, then the applicant can then kickstart a process to try and get decisions made. Okay, Ms. Gold, next one.
We have inserted minimum requirements, and that is now on page, just the previous page. On page 8 we have added minimum information requirements just to provide certainty to applicants. It will, the minimum requirements is inserted as an additional environmental minimum information required is an additional environmental management instrument, and the reason for it is to provide proactive guidance to the applicants on information requirements and will ensure consistency of the information request between the competent authorities. The Minister of Mineral Resources has also been given the authority to appoint mineral resource inspectors with the same powers as the mineral as the environmental management inspectors to be able to enforce the provision of the National Environmental Management Act. However, the Minister, in concurrence with the Minister responsible for mineral resources, may designate EMIs should a mineral resource inspectors be unable to fulfill the function. And
that is not completely right, because that's the part that's now being reworded.
Yes.
Okay. What we are saying here is that we can see that there's going to be in the beginning for the Department of Mineral is now going to have a big task to do all these, and they won't necessarily will take time to build up the capacity. So the first thing we've done in the Act is to say where they're having problems with capacity, that the two ministers, and DG, just listen to this, the two ministers then in concurrence can agree that some of the Minister of Environment will come and help and assist with the matter. That's the first thing where there's no difference, no problem with the wording. The second part that we're waiting for the wording to kick in, what happens then if there's still the time frame and the enforcement is not happening? And we're trying to create a mechanism where if there's a complaint then that'll kickstart a process, and we'll have a similar process of intervention. That after certain steps have been taken, then there can be an intervention to make sure that monitoring takes place. Because of course, this is the biggest weakness, is the enforcement and monitoring. The biggest weakness in government. And what we want to make sure here is that where there are real capacity constraints and things are not happening, that this will not fall between the cracks. And we're trying to make sure that the two departments have a procedure whereby, firstly, in concurrence, they can try and sort out the problem. But then, of course, if that still doesn't solve the problem, that after time, there will be a mechanism that then kicks in on the basis of complaint. Now, we can't show you that wording yet because I haven't seen it, but we'll come back to this clause just to give you the exact wording, okay? So just this, so this slide must also change to capture the new wording. Okay, so change this slide as well. It's not completely correct.
The Director General of the Department responsible for the mineral resources has been given the powers to issue directives and also to generally apply Section 28 of the National Environmental Management Act. That is on page 19, all the amendments. We have just
Are there such directives existing at the moment?
Yes, Chair, it is issued by the Director General and by the Provincial Heads of Department.
So it already exists?
It already exists. We have just added...
Because I'm just looking at a clause that if they don't exist, we don't want a lacuna, a period of lacuna. So they do exist already. And this will just help you to be able to supplement them and amend them and change them.
Chair, it is directives to members of the public on a case-by-case basis. It's
by an enforcement mechanism. Have already got the directives. That's all I'm asking.
No, the Department of Mineral Resources, no.
You see, that's the problem I'm raising now, because what will apply when we pass this Act, what directives will apply? Because I imagine at the moment, is it your directives that are applying?
DJ, I think we need to correct it.
Section 28 is the general duty of care, and its directives issued to people to do certain things in respect of a certain... I'm just trying to understand your question.
You
so
say directive to generally implement Section 28?
No. It's directive... Chairperson, it's directives that one issue on a case-by-case...
It's not a set of directives to generally implement Section 28.
No.
Well, you guys must... get this wording right.
See,
if it's issue directives, then if that all it says in terms of 28, I would, but then it says and to generally implement Section 28, that's what I'm asking. So you say that doesn't happen. So we don't have to worry. Change your slide.
Chief, what I mean by that is there's certain steps. So on the other
side, don't even try to explain it. You see what confusion you create. Because if you just, all of us understand directives, if you just say issue directives, the DG of Minerals can issue directives, I've got no problem, I know what Section 28 is. But then if you tell me it must to implement, then I have a problem. Because you can read that as now I haven't have a set of directives. Change your wording, make it clearer.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, under mineral resources, I thought the DG would come in. There are environmentalists in the regional offices, isn't it?
Yes, certainly we do. And if a company doesn't comply with certain aspects of the law, we issue out directives to ensure that they comply.
That's what it is. I mean, we've got no problem with it. I was just thinking that it would have to be drafted. But they now explain no, it's a directive on a case-to-case basis. Okay. So that is fine. There's no problem with that. Just change the slide. Go on, next one.
The next amendment is amendment to the Waste Act. We have also, similarly as in the National Environmental Management Act, also gave the Minister of Mineral Resources the power to issue waste management licenses, but it's not so much for mining activities, but for auxiliary activities that are interrelated to the mining activity. For example, a waste dump that is a part of your, and it may not be a good example, but a waste dump or something that is a waste management activity that is managed in terms of the Waste Act, but it's also interrelated to your mining activity. So you issue one license or one authorization, an integrated authorization, and in that instance,
let's go to the beginning. We say there's issue waste management license. That's all you say.
Yes.
Insofar as it relates to those things.
Yes.
So when I read that, I say to myself, okay, as we've agreed, we've given them the power. Then you say, no, but that's not what it is. It's auxiliary power. What?
No. It's activity. It's
auxiliary
activities. Yeah. But it's the related.
The power to give waste licenses. Why are you telling about the auxiliary
okay.
They've got the power to issue a waste management license insofar as it relates to mining.
Thank
what
you.
Does it matter about ancillary and so on? You see, this is, you're confusing me with your input, my dear. I think I've been on holiday for too long.
Yeah, simply waste licenses in relation to prospecting.
They can issue it now. That's all it is. Nothing ancillary.
Can I just ask this then? Where does the issue of the stockpile then come in?
It's under NEMA. And it will be dealt with under environmental authorization under NEMA, the National Environmental Management Act, not under the Waste Act. That is what I tried. That is what I tried to give comfort to NEMA. Mm-hmm. The definition.
Because you are mentioning that if it's in a case of, for example, a dump. That's just that by saying, what do you call that dump?
No, I mean waste disposal sites other
than mine dumps and stockpiles. Other
everything
than
else other than what you'd call a dump.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
That is excluded by Section 4 of the Waste Act.
It's waste sites within a mining area other than stockpile and residue. That would be stockpiles and residues and then other laws are applied to that. Am I right?
Yes,
but then, other than stockpile and residue, this is what will apply. You need a special mine. The minister can issue, the Minister of Minerals can issue a waste license for those. Is that it?
My problem is that Maher is not comprehending it to be correct as to why would the waste license that doesn't concern mining then be issued by Mineral Resources.
That's why it says insofar as it relates to prospecting exploring. It's only those that are related to mining.
For example, the slush, what they call it?
Sludge.
Will that fall under it?
Sludge would fall.
Your waste, the water that's pumped out of the mine or part of the mining process will be pumped into a sludge. And that would fall under residue and stockpile. So that will be the kind of thing. So it's the mining related other waste things other than residue and stockpile.
I think there we
so
don't have to
be
find
won't
proper
be a
wording as well.
It won't be a waste.
It's going to create a discrepancy in the sense that we might have to start identifying exactly what do we mean by each of those and where do they fall in terms of the act. It will have to be specific because the conditions are different when it comes to minerals as they would be in environmental issues.
If I just may respond, in both the Waste Management Act and NEMA, we list the activities. So it's never unclear.
Now, that's the one amendment we haven't looked at. We still look at that. Previously, the wording of the Act was very broad, and some people raised constitutional issues. Because it just said, any environmental issue within a mining area. So that meant, if this is a mining area, then anything affecting the environment in that area would have then been handed over. And we said, that's not what is intended. It is those activities that are that affect the environment that deal with prospecting, exploration, mining, or production activities. That is clearly what they should have the power over. So what they've done is now, instead of just saying the whole mining area, they've listed the specific activities in the Act now. And this is an amendment that came from the last meeting, which we haven't looked at yet. I imagine it's part of the amendment. Are you still getting to it?
I think the members' hand was up the side. Did you want to comment on that?
Yes,
sorry.
No,
sludge should be part of
religion.
That's why I asked that you had an example, but I don't know. Sludge part of religion?
Okay. Sure, sludge can have be different things. For example, you could have a reverse osmosis plant and there could be sludge coming from that. That is what is intended to be regulated through. It's a listed activity, and it will be now regulated by DMR because it's involved with the mining aspect.
So it's not just anything. It's listed activities already part of the environmental. They will have the power to issue a license like this, and then residue and stockpiles, whatever they are, whatever they mean, will be dealt with under this other regime that you create.
Okay. Thank you, G. The next slide is slightly out of place. The definition for community, and that is now, if we page back in the bill, we have in 2008, we have amended the definition of community to include prospecting and mining activities, but or to make it specifically applicable to prospecting and mining and exploration and production activities. Now, DMR commented on that and say, but it's not really, they do not use community when they issue they do not refer to community when they deal with licenses. They work with interested and affected parties the same way as we deal with environmental authorizations under NEMA. But we still need a different definition for community to be linked to Section 2 of the National Environmental Management Act, which deal with environmental principles and the environmental management agreement. So for that reason, we still need the definition, but we have actually now changed the definition and everybody agreed to the definition.
Where in the Act is the word community?
It's in Section 2.
Two of the bill or two of the Act?
No, two of the Act.
Well, I don't have the Act in front of me.
We have given you a consolidated version.
Number 2 in your packet, Section 2
of the consolidated version.
Where? Under principles. Which principles? A, B, C, D, E.
It's on, for example, it can be in other places as well, but it is section, it's Section 2. Subsection 4 and H.
H.
community well-being and empowerment must be promoted through environmental education and it's somewhere else.
But if it's there, why do we need to change the definition? If it's part of principle,
but we have reversed it back to the prior the 2008 amendment so that it applies fully just to principles and not to environmental authorizations or anything else. There we work with interested and affected parties.
I think that will be an issue that when you relate to community, there will always be a community in whatever area you work in. But it could be perhaps a need to then rather say to be accommodative of what the issues are in relation to DMR, to have a mining community, for example, added to that. You have your community, but you have that extra decision of saying there must be the extra word of mining community if it's related to mining. But in a community, you generalize to say that that needs to, whatever work, piece of work needs to be done would be done in any community anyway, whether mining or no mining. But in a specific clause, perhaps, there could be a need where you need to specify particularly to a mining community because of reasons related to issues of the environment within a mining precinct.
See, I understand what the chair is saying, and that's the problem. But if you look at H, if you're only creating a definition for community for H, then it's not worth it. Because H tells you exactly what a community is. It's community well-being and empowerment must be promoted through environmental education. Why would you then want to define community in that context as meaning a group of persons or part of a group who share common interests? It makes no sense.
Yeah, if we're to be quite honest,
it doesn't make any sense because some will take the decision without involving others who are affected by the close issue of mining. I think when we talk about this, we must be very much sensitive because some of us around this house, we are not staying where the mining are. But we must take in cognizance the right of those people who are living around the mines. When we take decision here, because we are sitting somewhere in Sandton, we getting the burden of the mining waste. We must take decision that will favor us as the community who are around the mines. I want to put this issue, Chairperson, because nowadays the mines that are being done is the open cast, of which is the dangerous things about dust. When we talk, we must put in that into context so that we, as the people who are living around the mines, we must be able, when we pass the bills here, not to contest the bill when it goes down to the area where we stay. Thank you.
See, I think the chair pointed out, if we need a definition for a mining community, well then let's give a definition for a mining community. But to redefine community in this narrow sense, when it actually applies to a principle here, which means exactly what Mangani is saying, it's community around the mine that we're talking about that must have be given environmental education. She wouldn't want to narrowly define it. So I've not heard any reason. I mean, no one has discussed this community thing with me previously, so it's the first time I hear about it. Is there a particular DG? Is there a particular something you're trying to achieve with this definition elsewhere in this bill where the use community is used? Or is it just that it fits in better with your definition that you guys have? Ms. Carla? Now, why would we have a narrow definition like this? for that sentence. It says with any person or community. Why would you want to define a community as a group of persons who share common interests? I mean, me and my golf buddies, we share a very, very common interest. Are we a community?
No.
It doesn't say, it just says it's a community. Community, we all know what a community is. Why doesn't it define it?
Yeah.
Yes, it says, with any person can do an agreement, so you're going to not just for any nation. You sit with a group of people that are regarded as a million.
Since the statement there says that the amendment was on request of DMR, can you just get a sense of understanding as to what was the issue? Perhaps there's something we're missing or we're not hearing.
Chair,
can you just get the understanding of what was the sense of DMR making that request?
Chair,
okay. Let me clarify it. From our side, when it comes to issues of community and environmental issues, we prefer to use interested and affected parties. And we prefer to use interested and affected parties. Now, the challenge is, in terms of our charter, the mining charter, the social plan, we have we have defined community, and when we define community, it could be community which is within the proximity of the mine, but also in labor sending areas, but that is for a different purpose. But for environmental issues, we prefer to use the word interested and affected parties.
But now, Chief, are there more uses of the word community other than these two? Are it only these two you've given me?
Just before chapter 9, please.
Just before chapter 9.
Hey, I'm worried about that word community, because at the end of the day, it might send us back even to social development, for example, where we commonly use the word communities. And you might find a difference in terms of the definition we've got here, and the definition you might get according to even who. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the issue is, DG was suggesting that you rather use the word of interested and affected parties, rather than us going into community work now.
But you see, the problem I have with what you're saying is the two ways that we use it in this act is not relating to what you say at all. It doesn't at all deal with it. It's number H, which says community well-being and empowerment must be promoted through environmental education. So you don't have to have a narrow definition from to say it's only interested, because you want all communities must be given environmental education. So your definition doesn't work there. And in section 35, the minister and every MSC and municipality may enter into environmental management cooperation agreement with any personal community. Again, you don't want that narrow definition of community as an individual part.
The one completely confusing. What about the metro municipality?
All right, so we're going to scrap this for now unless you guys come with a compelling reason why. I mean, I know for your legislation, but it doesn't look like anything in this legislation is going to impact on the way you guys look at community, okay?
But in any case, I think it's an issue of having the word community, as would normally have your definition being there anyway. But I think in relation to what the issue is, I'd rather not put in that interested and affected parties. I don't think it's relevant also. Also, in this instance, where the community comments are concerned, it might not be befitting. But also, to make sure that the definition that is given is an overall definition that is acceptable in any aspect for that matter, or if I had to go to arts and culture, for example, the definition of community, there must be a common issue that says that the same definition is being used in water environment, in minerals, or whatever the case might be. It's just a matter of checking if that word community, according to what you've defined and the way you've stated it, is consistent with the other definition.
So we're not going to accept that narrow definition. You leave it as it is, unless Minerals comes back to us before we pass this matter and shows us why we need a narrow definition. We'll leave it up to you guys.
Okay, honourable member.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm a little bit worried about the presentation that we get here.
Yeah.
It seems the presentation is one-sided, hence we're saying we're two committees getting a presentation from the department. And it's only environment that is responsible for this thing. And even some of the issues that is omitted, we're asking one department. Hence we said the department must meet and deal with these issues when they come before us. Both of them, they must have a very same content, a very same response on these issues. I'm really concerned, and I don't think we'll finish up this presentation very well, because all the time we'll be questioning things. Hence, the mineral doesn't have some clue in other issues. The environment is having clue, which means now it's become one-sided. There's no more a presentation that we expect as joint committees. Really, that's the concern that I'm having, Chair.
But in this case here, of course, the two departments did agree to this amendment. The problem is, it's not a matter that we've discussed. It's the first time that we see it. That's why we're discussing it now. It's something they have looked at and found after we've had our discussion. They then agreed to the two departments that this can come in this form. We now look at it and we say we don't agree. Okay? So in this case, I think they did consult and they... our department agreed with Minerals to put it in, but I think it's probably wrongly done. So we're not going to allow it. In the context of this legislation, we don't think that definition is right, but we're leaving it up to Minerals that if they want to persuade us to make a narrower definition, they can come and still make later before we pass. Obviously, we're concentrating on, and Chief, we're concentrating on our department because we're looking at what environmental things are now going to apply. Because these all have to be removed from Minerals legislation into here because of what it is. And that is why it's from that. When we finish here, we'll then make sure that what's in the Minerals legislation, that everyone's happy with that as well. Okay? And in the water. All right. Sorry, did I see another hand?
Yeah, I'm a bit covered. Because my problem was, it is really confusing. Because what is happening now? She is reading what is not written there. And most of us get confused, which one is right? Is it one written, or is it one she is saying? But now you have covered me, I understand.
And I must say to you, department, just through what you say, and what you put on paper can create a huge confusion. A lot of what we're doing here, we take it on trust. Because we're not sitting looking at this thing again word for word. So when you say something to us, and you are not putting it to us in a certain way, I really have problems with that. Because what I then have to do, every time I'm looking at your slide, I'm asking, is this thing right or is it problematic? So you guys need to be more accurate. I expect more than this. Okay? I agree with Mark. This is not acceptable. No, don't even answer it. Why don't you answer it? I don't want you to even answer these things. All you must do is be careful with these things. We're dealing here with issues, and particularly in our case, we sat here as our committee talking about these things for a long time, but the committee on DMR haven't been part of these processes. So, they're hearing it for the first time. Now, if we keep on raising things, we're saying, what do you mean? Why are you saying this? I mean, I'm starting to create problems myself. So I think you guys need to make very careful and careful what you say and what we put down on paper. I think the only one you've got an excuse is the one that was amended this morning. That clearly couldn't have been done right on the slide. But you guys need to be more careful how you say these. And then next time, when you add something new that we haven't discussed, like this community, you guys must discuss it with me beforehand. I mean, no one has ever discussed with me, you've now added a definition. How do I leave the committee and say, I've looked at this issue, I think it's right? Now I have to sit here and pull teeth and say, but where does this come from? Why is it? Okay. So there's a problem in your process. When new things come in that we haven't discussed in the committee, you need to tell us me beforehand as a chairperson. Right, just go ahead with the input.
I think the second point is very
sure.
Can we just have a look at the second point again? The second bullet point.
No, this
second. That's not quite clear to me.
Chair, this is the point that you were making earlier about the listed activities.
Explain to the chair what we've done. Is this issue, well, let me explain.
Yeah.
People have raised the problem to say, but if you say all environmental issues in a mining area, then there's a lot of issues that could be that doesn't affect prospecting, da-da-da-da-da-da. The intention was never to hand over all environmental issues to mining. So we said to them, well, how can we deal with this problem? And then what they said, well, it's actually simple. Instead of saying all environmental issues, let's list which environmental issues. Okay, so it's exactly the point you made just now about waste. So that at least we know it's only the listed activities and waste that are falling under that. Yeah, again, we said to them, but go and look at this matter and say, what are the issues that there's an impact on the environment that you particularly want them? And what they've done now, instead of just saying all environmental issues in that mining area, they've now listed them, and they're now going to tell me which section, where they've listed them, so we can have a look at them, but unless you want to ask a question.
But that's fine, I hear the explanation, but then I think you need to expand on that after where you say the scope of the powers of the Minister of Mineral Resources as competent authority has now been linked to activities. Does it mean now the definitions that you are going through? That sentence doesn't sound specific to say these activities.
No, it's not detailed. Again, it should be added so that it's clear. This is a new thing that we've come up with. Let's explain it more clearly. Explain now. Take us to the section in the bill. Don't give us an explanation. First, take us to the section in the bill. Let's see how you did it.
Page 9.
It.
On page 9. Section 24C. It's clause 3. Section 24C. And it's the new subsection 2A. It reads, the minister responsible for mineral resources must be identified as the competent authority in terms of subsection 1, where the listed or specified activity is or is directly related to prospecting or exploration of a mineral resource or extraction and primary processing of a mineral resource. But because this section was previously phrased in a manner that it referred to exploration area, mining area, production area, those were all defined in the previous National Environmental Management Act. And we have deleted those definitions now from the Act because we have linked it now to activities.
And I think the second part of the sentence, just take it out, and instead continue linked to activities such as, then it will be straightforward and clear.
You can even say they're listed and specified activities, because now those activities are listed and, somewhere else, and that is what the minister would have. And then as the chair said, explain that clause a bit more clearly in the documentation, okay? All right. And that seemed much more clear in where we wanted it, and I think it does deal to some extent with the constitutional issue that was raised completely removing environmental issues from other levels of government and only giving it to minerals. This, of course, now makes it much narrower in terms of it's only those activities that actually deal with those prospecting or exploration of a mining resource or extraction and primary process of a mineral resource. Are now exactly the listed activities linked to that is what the power is given to them. Not all environmental issues in a mining area. In some instances, mining areas are huge. So what you've done is then you've now excluded completely other decisions on environmental issues from that whole area. We've now made it much, much narrower by this this amendment. Okay? Anyone have any, this is new. So if you're happy with that wording that's there,
yeah.
It seems to be much more accurate what we want. Mm. Are also happy? All right, next one.
Wait, Chairperson, we are happy. I think it's just something which just maybe minor correction. It should be mineral and petroleum resources.
No, we are.
Because if you look at that, it's a prospecting of exploration of a mineral resource. What you wanted to add is just mineral and petroleum resources. Because exploration is for petroleum and prospecting is for mineral. It's just a minor one.
I'll leave that technical thing to you. As long as energy doesn't come here and moan and say we've taken away anything from that. Or exploration, okay? Okay, and then if it is there, then you must just make sure other parts of the act where you've dealt with this kind of phrasing, but just make sure that the phrasing is now the same. Okay? Now it's with. All right? All right, then the next one is,
The first bullet point, the amendment, this amendment that we have done here, we have also affected in the Waste Act, the amendments under the Waste Act, so that is on page 31 of the bill.
But it's the same word,
it's
just
the same
in the
word.
Other act, the other Environment Act, just
that's
to make
it.
Sure we have now the same, that it's not the whole mineral area, the whole mining area, it's just the listed activities in that area.
That's correct.
Okay, well we don't have to look at that, if it's the same principle, we agree.
And then regulations made in terms of the National Environmental Management Act that affects the agreement between the parties. Those agreements must be, those regulations must be made in concurrence with the Minister of Mineral Resources. We have moved that section under the general section of
the
article.
But now,
political.
Why is it only like that? Where's Parliament?
Chair, if we go to section 44 in the consolidated version, remember we have made some amendments in the National Environmental Management Second Amendment Act, which is already in effect, and that all regulations must be tabled in Parliament prior to...
I'm happy with that, but why are we dealing with one separately here than from that section that we've dealt with? That's the only reason I'm asking the question, because we've got a whole section dealing with regulations and so on, and we've already agreed what the procedure is there for the amendment. It's concurrent firstly, and then comes to Parliament. I'm just now asking the question, why is this a regulation, a separate one in the middle of nowhere? Will you put this then also in under that section?
Okay, can do.
There must be the same things, but the same principles must be applicable. See what I'm saying? You guys must be careful on how you draft these inputs. We agree with this, obviously, that it must be drafted in such a way as with other things, and we must make sure that Parliament has the, whatever wording you've now used, the ratification power. None of this agreement can be amended without Parliament being part of the process. Okay? That's the principle we've agreed to. Okay? So they'll pick that up, make sure it's in the right place. Next one.
Amendment to Section 24... C subsection 3 in the original table bill in Parliament. We have made provision for the Minister of Mineral Resources to enter into agreements with the MEC. This amendment has now been omitted from the bill, and the reason for that is that the Department of Mineral Resources indicated that the Minister does not require this power. Everything will happen on a national level, and we have already, the national ministers will already have all the power, so it's not necessary to have such a power. So we've just omitted that previous amendment to the bill.
The roles and functions, perhaps, to support that, the roles and functions also of mineral resources are not provincial competencies, it's a national competency. That is the main reason. I think that I would support.
I was just wondering, there's no problem with supporting, but I'm just wondering whether it wouldn't be prudent to have that power. because to have this power to make agreements, because your problem is that these are environmental issues we're talking about, and you now have the power to do it, to deal with environmental issues. Although provinces don't have a role in mineral issues, but they do have on environmental issues. And I wonder if it isn't prudent to just keep this power. You don't have to ever use it, but there may be instances where you do want to have some agreement on the environmental issues with provinces because they deal with environmental issues. I'm just thinking aloud. I'm
but remember, in the case of DMR, the environmentalists would fall under the regional offices of national office, right? So in other words, they'd be implementing the laws of the national office. How then would it be effective for them?
No, I have that. The national office will be entering such agreements. Look, I don't care if you want to take it off. I just thought what harm is it to have that power, because we're not talking about a mineral, we're talking about environment. And provinces exercise all environment in your mining areas, other than the ones that deal with prospecting and so on. All the other environmental issues they deal with. So there may be some...
So to municipalities.
Well, it's your provinces really. Your municipalities don't have environmental powers. Other than we've given them in air. But all other environmental powers rest with but if you want to take it out, take it out. It's fine.
It wouldn't tell you with the MPRDA, I think. There would be problems because there are no powers within provinces except to say there's regional structures through REMDEC that go into provinces.
But we're not dealing with minerals. We're dealing with environment. Their powers on environment, we talk about, not their powers on minerals. Provinces have no powers on minerals. I mean, they've got nothing to do with minerals. But we're now handing all environmental powers, or not all, the listed environmental in a mining area are handed to them.
Yes.
All the other environmental issues in that area will still be dealt with the province.
Yes.
All I'm saying is that this is worth keeping that, because maybe there are some issues you would like to liaise on. Not on mineral issues, but on environmental issues. But as I say, I've got no problem. If you think you don't need the power, then it's fine. It's just, I think we must just be clear, this is environmental stuff, not mineral stuff at all. And we're now removing the power. But okay, let's leave it out. Let's move on.
The wording in section 24, capital L, and you will find it on page 11 of the amendment bill.
Yeah, it's been simplified and corrected, and there's no principle change.
Yes. Then we, under section 24O in the Principal Act, section 24O, it's on page 14, we have made the ability of an applicant to make the prescribed financial provision. We have added it as one of the criteria for consideration of an environmental authorization. We have generally strengthened the provisions on financial provisions. We have checked what was there in the EPRDA before, and we have strengthened our act in generally with the financial because those provisions will be taken or
well,
have been already
suggestions were made in some of the submissions, and we liked it to strengthen those provisions and to make them part of the criteria, because the big issue about mining is money, and if your financial issues are not properly arranged, and we took a lot of good examples from DMR legislation to strengthen ours, and that's all we've done really. From, I think it's the CER, where she was sitting in the background, made some of these suggestions. So I think this is stuff that we've agreed to, and you just now put it into our strength.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think the other chair didn't see my head. I was just saying the issue that you were talking about, Chairperson. To me, I'm speaking now as the resident of where all this activity are taking place. It's proper to come up and see how, in terms of environment, how is the EMR is going to do it in the province, because I know that we've got regional offices, but those they can't operate in a vacuum. There must be somewhere where the province interact with them. Because why I'm saying this, if you remember well, we ban most of the trucks of the mining that have been in Pilansberg, most of them, because of this technicality. So the province said, no, it's not, we are not there. Call the national office. The national, by then, they are not there. It's the province that is on the ground. Maybe we must come with the healthy relation. How can we put it? Because to me, I think this thing that will make this integrated development work well. Even although the province have little to say about whatever that the national is doing, but at the end of the day, all these things doesn't happen at national. The relationship should be there, so as to enhance all the things that we are thinking of. We can think of good ideas here, but when the province fold their arms, you want to meet people on the ground who will be saying, if the province doesn't know what we are doing, we can't take it. Let's be sensitive, because I'm cautioning. Let's be sensitive about this issue, because some of us, we are speaking from the experience. When we do this, let's put at least so that even though they don't have anything to say, but to caution you and say, we think it must be done in this way. So I didn't want to put this. I'm representing the community that is very much vulnerable. 90% of the province that I came from is mining. So when we talk about mining, I don't want not to represent my community. Thank you.
Maybe, you know, Ma is referring, of course, to this first clause. He said that could be deleted on the agreements. Of course, you don't really need a clause in a bill to say that someone can enter into agreements. Can enter into agreements. But I think what Ma is saying, that when it comes to environmental issues, shouldn't we look at creating a mechanism in the bill that allows minerals to be able to... I mean, obviously as cooperative governments, or to be able to liaise and work with your province where the mines are present, to create some clause to allow that there is some interaction around, and we must clearly state environmental issues. I mean, it's not mining issues. It's as mining impacts on the environment. So will you guys, can we flag that, and you guys sit down? I think it's probably right not to have the thing on agreement, because you don't need a clause. I think what Ma is saying is something more nuanced, is that at the moment, in fact, a lot of the complaints I get from in government about mining is from provinces. I mean, they raise the problem is that they're completely out of the loop when it comes to water, when it comes to pollution, when it comes to their roads. Then, you know, they're not seen in all those things. They have to look after all those things, but they are never, ever consulted or discussed in the processes leading up to that. Now, of course, that may be or may not be true. I'm just saying that it's actually in government where we have that resistance. So maybe you guys can just flag that and have a look at it and see if there is something you can capture, a mechanism whereby we can try and get national mineral department on matters where they're dealing with the environment to have a mechanism to be able to interact at least with the provinces. Okay? Do you guys look at that? And
can you add this to that as well? I think that up and beyond the environmental issues, it would then take us up to the detailed work of the department of DMR to say that part of what you are saying, it's related to grey areas that you could have identified in operations of DMR itself, where you find that we might not be having sufficient or enough in terms of law that indicates where then do you commit or would you sanction or would you even align programs, especially in mining areas, in the mining industry, with those of the municipality in particular. They have something that they call the scorecard in the mining charter, where social labor plans have to be met according to the industry with the relevant communities. They have this being implemented, but they might not necessarily be aligned to the requirements or the needs of a local municipality. You'd also then have a situation where the very local municipality, not liaising with the mining industry in the area, they miss each other in terms of development that needs to happen within that mining area. So it is, I think, part of work at hand, but might not necessarily be related to the present issues. But there needs to be a way of us finding common ground, in particularly, as we've already identified, with municipalities, and there being synergy between the mining houses as well as the municipalities in their responsibilities that are carried out within their communities. There isn't a particular law that guides this.
You guys can have a look at it. If there's nothing, there's nothing. If there is, there is. But we won't take the amendment that is there now. We'll remove that one. Omit the one on the agreement. Next one.
Thank you, Chief. The next point on the slide, the committee has previously requested that we require comments that are submitted by state departments, that should be done by registered post. Now, DMR did raise it as the issue.
No.
We have, Chair, if you could please hear me out. We have in the Second Amendment Act, we have made provision that documents can be submitted by fax and also
no,
by...
No, man, that's the whole point we don't want to have.
Okay.
You've shortened all the periods. The whole NGO community and the whole business community came here and complained about shortening these times, a lot of these time periods. Now, we said you in the committee, we want to have something in proof that there has been the submissions that have come from the department. What you guys want to do is just email or fax. What proof is that? We all know that registered mail, that there's a slip, there's a proof that this thing has taken place. It's exactly the discussion we had. Now you want to go back to an email and a fax. Someone sends an email. They may not even send the fax or the email. What proof do you have of these things? Whereas in law, that when you are serving or giving something, you, the best way to do it that there's proof of is by registered mail. I can't understand why we have a whole discussion on this issue and you come back with the same example and say, no, we just email or fax. Unacceptable. Why we even have a committee and tell you, give you instructions to do things, you come and tell us that the department doesn't like it, so they want to change.
You'll have sent us back to consult with the department.
No, that
department
should have been sitting in our meetings and listening and raising objections. They didn't come to the last meeting. Now we have to hear in a, now that they're not happy with it. In the beginning they attended the meetings, then they just stopped attending the meetings. Both departments agree that both departments go and attend the other meetings exactly so they can give inputs into it. This is a practical thing that we're trying to deal with. There's no principle involved here. Now we want to just have a fax You know, if someone sends a fax, I mean, how do we put in law if you send a fax to write? We try to get the proof that it's been done. Because if someone comes and complains and raises a legal issue that the time constraints have not been met, we're trying to make sure that in law there's a process that we can show that there's proof of it. And we, the legislator, told you how it's to be done. These are based on principles of service of legal documents that we've used here. Please, man, you know, really. That's not accepted. Move on.
Section 24N previously was limited to the mineral and the prospecting, the mining, the exploration, and the production activities. And we have now broadened it just to make it generally applicable to all activities and not just mining activities. The bill contains also a general definition. Now also contains a general definition for financial provision, because previously...
Just remind me quickly, what is 24N?
24N...
EMPR.
Yeah, it deals with EMPR. Okay, the bill contains now two definitions on financial provision. Previously, we had the definition for financial provision that deals specifically, that was also inserted on the request of one of the persons that presented here at Parliament. But we have put it under the definition provision, but it was limited to mining issues. But we also have a financial provision wording for other activities. So we have now added the general definition under the general definition section. They read similarly, but they are also differences. And then under 24P, where it deals specifically with the mining related financial provisions, we have added the one for mining. That is what we have done.
We've looked at all that. We were happy with strengthening and importing DMR's provision on the finance.
We had previously an appeal lodged against the decision by the minister responsible for mineral resources suspense, a decision taken by that minister. The moment when there is an appeal, and there was a qualification.
There can't be consequences. Once there is an appeal, you have to let it run. Of course, you can't allow there to be consequences. Is that what you say?
It is
a appeal lodged against the decision, suspended the decision.
That's correct. But we have. But previously it said unless the minister directs otherwise, because sometimes they are just. Directs otherwise.
It's an appeal against her decision. She can't then direct otherwise. So maybe you can.
No. It's either under a delegated. There are two provisions. If one can quickly go to the comprehensive of the consolidated version, it's section 43.
So you've just taken the unless direct otherwise out, you're saying that, of course, the decision is suspended until the appeal has been filed. That's all you're doing. All I can't understand is that word previously was there, that unless the minister directs.
No, Chair, can I explain, please?
Well, why do you have to explain if you change it?
No, Chair, that is the point. Just before this meeting this morning, after the documents was printed already, DMR requested that we put the wording back. If one look at the consolidated version, under
you can't put that wording back. How can you say unless the minister directs otherwise? There's an appeal.
But remember, it's a...
No, man, you can't put it there. For God's sake.
Okay.
How can you say there's an appeal against the decision of the person? I don't care if it's delegated or not. Then you can't say that a minister can say, I'm not going to suspend. Of course, the decision must be suspended because the appeal decision is going to be made by another minister. For God's sake, it's so simple. No explanation for it. You know the principle there, Isha?
Yes, yes.
Can you clarify that?
Oh,
you must appeal.
No, we never
Let's not argue, can you just clarify that?
We're quite clear that when it comes to appeals and someone appeals against it, legally you can't say, I'm going to disrespect the fact that someone's appealed and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to decide that the decision of that person must be suspended, the appeal must run its course, and then, well, the outcome of the appeal will decide whether the decision stands or doesn't stand or is amended or whatever. It has to be like that in the law. Okay, let's move. Everyone is just sending emails, they're all happy about it, they're excited, they just want to write things and they get very excited. Don't worry about it, just move on.
The manner in which we amend section 47C and the agreement between us and DMR on the issue. In section 47C, we now make for extensions of time frame, and then under section 47CC, it's we make provision for condemnation. It will only apply to appeals, and it will be in very restrict circumstances.
That's important, because this whole thing, if you can condone on every single step of this becomes meaningless. So we wanted to only have condemnation where there's strict criteria applied to it. These criteria, for example, you do not want, say the appeal, you can lodge an appeal within 30 days. The minister has gone through the process, you're now going to implement the decision. Now someone comes suddenly after 120 days and says, I want to now lodge an appeal. And I want you to condone the fact that I didn't appeal 30 days ago. Now, one of the criteria we said, it depends how far you are in the process, is one of the criteria you apply. If you've gone through the process and people haven't cared to appeal in time, and now want to come 2 months later and appeal, you don't want to allow that. You don't want to allow that. Because then you will just, once you, in one case, condone such a late application, now you've created a precedent. Now everyone's going to wait, they're not going to do it within 30 days. They're going to come and do it because you've created a precedent. So we wanted condemnation, you must allow condemnation because there's always cases, but it must be only in strict criteria applied. And therefore it must be only granted in exceptional circumstances. Okay? I think that's an important principle. Let's move on.
A provision was inserted that all future amendments to legislation that affects the agreement...
We're not there. We've got the old one.
A provision was inserted that all future amendments to legislation that affects agreements is subject to the concurrence between the minister and the minister responsible for mineral resources prior to the tabling of a bill in Parliament. Chief, maybe we should look at the word...
Parliament? Prior to the tabling of the bill in Parliament, who said that? Where is the ratification by Parliament of the concurrence? You've just left Parliament out of the equation. I've told you that this agreement is contrary to legislation passed by this Parliament. Therefore, it is an agreement that we as two committees in Parliament have been part of the agreement. And if there are amendments made to this agreement, we have to ratify it before anything is done. After the concurrence of the two ministers, they must agree with each other, we want to amend something, then they bring it to Parliament. Otherwise, not acceptable. So wait, prior to the tabling of the bill in Parliament. You've left out the ratification completely.
The argument was...
Where in the... Let me see if you've done it, because now I'm worried if you've done it. I now can't trust you guys anymore. Which clause is it? Look at the wording. The clause, show me the clause. I don't want to hear any stories. Clause what? Page what?
Page
27. We've agreed to these things already. Now we come here and it's not there.
17.
Any future amendments to the provision relating to prospecting the principal act, the national that may impact on the agreement must be subject to concurrence between the minister responsible for water and the minister responsible for mineral resources before tabling the amendment in Parliament. Agreement for the purpose of subsection 1 means the agreement reached and all environmental aspects were regulated through and system. What? All environmental aspects should be. Well, that's part of the agreement. I can't believe that you've taken ratification out. Who the hell told you to take ratification out? After we've agreed to it as a committee last time.
Last night we were sent back to consult the two ministers.
You weren't just a consult on ratification at all. You were going back on two issues. On section 24 and 31. At no stage was it agreed that you'd go back on the ratification. So are you telling me you've now reached an agreement you're going to take the ratification out?
Chair, if you recall yesterday, we suggested possible wording in relation to, remember that in terms of the initial drafting, A said must be subject to a prior written agreement between the various ministers.
The
so then,
don't sort out these problems out, we will not continue this process. You cannot write Parliament out of this process when it's an agreement that we are overturning legislation of Parliament. On an agreement that we've gone along with, whether we don't fully agree with, that we've gone along with, and we've always said in this committee, it is on the basis that Parliament remains part of the ratification of that. This meeting is adjourned. Go and sort it out.
Chair, we're happy to leave B in.
There's not giving B in. There's nothing here about B. The ratification.
We
had a completely.
I think we even
clause.
Had a discussion.
The ratification clause was there, Chair, because A talks about the ministers. B says ratification by Parliament prior to the tabling of the amendment by the Parliament.
Where?
In the original draft, Chair. Yeah. Remember you sent us back.
But just remember that the argument wasn't for you to take out rectification.
But
it was to correct
that
the wording.
That's
where the problem is.
I can't understand why it's been taken out. When I particularly last night with the chair present, we said Parliament is not going to be left out of the process.
We even said we won't support the whole thing if Parliament is being left out.
We're happy to put it back.
It was the wording, remember? You guys promised DMR, you promised that you'd sit together on that statement. It was just the wording that was the problem. That's for you to take it out.
You said you can go and look back, my exact words were, go and look at the wording, but don't change the principle. That was what we said. What is going on here? What is going on?
What we did here was just to look at the wedding, and this is the wedding which we looked at and came to an agreement with. Perhaps maybe you are not satisfied with it, because in terms of the current situation, all regulations, they are presented to Parliament. So we are saying that if this agreement, it will also be presented to Parliament.
Can I make a suggestion? I think for our own safety right now, let's adjourn the meeting. you go and complete what you needed to complete and let's see it. Because now I don't have much confidence if you're not going to be able to say we've seen them and rectified correctly as a committee. I think that the if we had to be honest, it was basically just two issues that had to be corrected, right? And those issues had to be put into the correct frame of wording, which we are hoping is happening while the meeting is continuing so that this can be presented to the committee for us to conclude that this has been dealt with. But now more issues are coming out, and it appears to be even having some major mistakes taking place of just taking out what we'd agreed upon, that it's just the wording that needs to be changed. And for some reason or the other, I'm getting the sense that there is not enough talk between water and environment with DMR. Something is not telling. Can you go and sit now? We adjourn, Chairperson. Go and sit, conclude this, and let's see this working paper, even if it means coming back.
Can we, I fully agree with my chair, can we, I want to hear from the members of the committee. All along, we said that this agreement doesn't make everyone happy. But we find a lot of good that could come out of it. And we're prepared to support it on the basis that this agreement cannot be undone by anyone nilly-willy unless everyone is involved in it. We've agreed with that. Do you still want that as our position as parliamentarians?
Mr. Susana, and then Mark. Chairperson, I should think you are in order. That's what we have said. Mm-hmm. And we are dealing with this bill in collaboration with two departments. That is environment and mineral resources. Everybody must have the very same content, very same information on the bill, so that when it is presented here, we must have one understanding of this bill.
Are you clear on the... Sorry, Mark, you were going to say... Are you clear on the instructions? You cannot write Parliament out of this bill. You want to try and do that, then this bill will not be processed. Simple. I'm telling you that. I'm not going to be part of that process. This is overturning a decision of Parliament that was already made, another Parliament has made, that particularly said to you that these things must be dealt with in a certain way. We now saying, okay, we made a different agreement that overturns that completely. But we do not want this just to be the preserve of one department again, that you can just nilly-willy start overturning things again. I just do not understand what's not clear about that. We embarked on this process as two committees with that understanding. And now at the end of the process, after we've agreed to wording, you want to write us out of the process. What is the time?
Can
we come at 1 o'clock? I think we're almost at the end, and then we'll wrap up the other things quickly, see if these things are, well, they must just be reworded and come back. I don't want any problems with the previous wording. And we want that at 1 o'clock, and then DMR can move on at 2 o'clock to the other meeting. Okay. DGs, DDGs, directors, chief directors, deputy directors, because all of them get paid more than parliamentarians. So you must always give them a lot of space to be able to do their things. They're well-paid people. Now, we had a fruitful time now, I think, to discuss. I think we've come up with a better proposal than there was previously. I think it'll create less confusion. Obviously, as we've agreed, that the process we're busy here is a very unusual one. Because Parliament sat for a long time with bills, agreed to a certain position, which hasn't been implemented. Then the executive sat and agreed with another agreement that overturns that. So because of all that, and to try and respect Parliament and its processes, what we have said as parliamentarians, is that we have to now create special processes here to make sure that the agreements that we are now part of, and we may not fully agree with, but we want to try and make it work for the executive, that at least those agreements in future can't be changed willy-nilly and without Parliament being part of the process. I think that's the principle we agreed to. And we've tried to find different ways of wording it. Now, someone said to me, but that means that this process may now be longer than usual. Of course it may be longer than usual, because you are overturning decisions of Parliament. And to do that, we're saying to you, okay, we'll agree with you, but you're not just going to do it in future nilly-willy again. This time we're going to put processes in place to make sure there's a consultation process with Parliament. And I think the best way we've come up, we may have to just technically change things a little bit, but only technically, but the substance is this: any proposed amendments to the provisions relating to prospecting, exploration, mining, or production in this Act, the Principal Act, the National Environmental Management Act, a specific Environmental Management Act, or any other Act of Parliament that may have the effect of amending the provisions of the agreement, because that's what it's all about. If it has the effect of amending, if it doesn't have the effect of amending it, then you don't need to follow this process. But if it in any way affects the provisions of the agreement, then it must be subject to the concurrence between those three ministers. We say three because in future it may be three instead of two. Secondly, any intervention contemplated in A that may lead to the amendment of the provisions of the agreement must be tabled in Parliament prior to any steps being taken to effect those changes. And Parliament may express its view on the proposed amendment. So instead of ratification and all those other words we had, we say it may express its views. For example, if they want to just change a few of the time frames, if that comes to Parliament, we're going to very easily just say go ahead. But if they want to change the substance of the agreement, then Parliament may want to do things, may want to have hearings, may want to deal with the matter, or whatever it wants to do. So obviously, from changing it from ratification just to express its views makes it much simpler, the processes in Parliament. Parliament may just say, well, we're not going to worry about it, that's fine, go ahead with it, etc. Just go on, and then the rest of the clauses just define what we mean by the agreement. And there is all the things that we mean by it. They've put it there, both departments have looked at it, they agree that that is the terms of, captures the essence of the agreement. So I'm not going to read through all that for you. So that is what being proposed. It's, I think, a better wording than previously. Because it may not create as much confusion as the other one did, because it's a very simple procedure. Anyone want to, from the committee, want to have clarity or comment on that or anything else? Seems it's clearer. Now, of course, there's no comments from us. You must go and capture in the regulations the SIMA clause. Don't all the ratification stuff, take all that out, and it's a similar clause in the regulations. We're not going to look at that today, but you guys must fix that up properly, okay? Okay. All right, then what's the next issue? Linda, next issue? That's the amendment that we didn't have. The DG's hand, isn't it? DG.
Can we scroll it?
Yeah. Which way?
The one of tabling. This is
B.
Yes. Okay. I don't want to take it back, Jefferson, on the mat. But
you're talking, so you're taking us back. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson.
You say on tabling, what's the problem?
Yes. I just wanted, the tabling of legislation or any other matter in Parliament has got a process which is followed. And in most cases, the way we've been operating, if there is an issue which needs to be changed, would go to cabinet. Okay.
go to cabinet after cabinet, then we go to parliament.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the way it is now captured here, it means now we'll have to start in parliament, then go to cabinet.
Do you want us to go ahead with your agreement or not, DG? You must decide. I'll stop this process if you want to. Because we as parliamentarians have said here to you before, we are going ahead with this agreement on the basis that if you want to change it one day, we want to be part of the process. Now you keep on fighting that. I don't know why. That is why I'm saying, if you want to stop this process, I'm happy. Because Parliament's almost going to adjourn. I don't think this bill is even going to be passed in Parliament this year. And you keep on stopping us on these basic stuff. I personally do not understand what the resistance is. Because your department is the department that has ignored Parliament for 7 years and have not implemented Parliament's legislation. You've now come up with something different for us. We're allowing it. Now we're saying to you, we've said this from the beginning, with your minister present, we said, if you want to institute this agreement, then it must be done on the basis that Parliament will be part of the process of changing this agreement. That was from the beginning said, and the ministers agreed, both ministers. I don't understand what the resistance is. That is why I'm saying I'm happy to stop this process. If you want to go and consult further, take the matter to your political parties and think, that's fine with me. I mean, we'll wait for the answers to come back. But we as MPs have expressed ourselves with your ministers present over and over and over again that this is the procedure we're following. And this is the way. It's a extra additional step we've created in this legislation because you have ignored Parliament previously. And we don't want you again to override Parliament and our interests, intentions in Parliament. But clearly you want to. You just do not want Parliament to be part of the process. Your department doesn't want to. I don't understand it why, but I mean, that's what's happening. And I just don't know what to do about it. We are burning backward to make compromises, and you're just opposing us on these matters.
Unfortunately.
Sorry.
Can I comment? I wish I was a teacher sometimes. Maybe I'd help decide in our favor. The problem is that we've now gone through these processes. And I think even amongst ourselves as the ruling party, we've had discussions, isn't it? And in the presence of both ministers, we've had agreements reached on the statement.
Mm.
There's absolutely nothing changing now that we're on the committee. It's for the committee now to decide how do we take the process forward, and that's what we are doing. And we've discussed this matter, and unless from the committee members there's somebody who wants to say something different, I don't see us stopping the process right now. The onus lies on us. The departments had their chance to take part in the process. We concluded issues, and in as far as ourselves are concerned as the committee, I think we agreed with the changes that we're making. None of the committee members, I remember, said they are objecting to whatever changes we're making. If there's issues beyond that, the departments can go back and discuss it, it's fine. But allow us as Parliament now to take over and continue with our processes and conclude our processes. That can't change.
Thank you, Chair. Now?
Yeah. Chair, I also say, really I'm surprised now. I don't know what, going forward and backwards and forward and backwards. As the chairperson is saying, we agreed. In fact, this chapter was closed to say we agreed. Now, why the change? Maybe the DG has some reason why he is changing it now. I really don't understand. Why after we have agreed to that thing, now something else pops up? I really don't understand.
I think we must follow the chairs. Sorry, Mr. Skosana.
Yeah, no, Chairperson. I should think now we start having a concern as politicians. Once we have debated this amendment bill together, consulting to one another, but today we're almost at the final end of our debating this amendment bill. Then there are things now that emanate, of which we don't know them. Why can't DG not disclose those things to us? Because we can't just work with a hidden agenda. Hence we've been agreeing all the time that we're going to work together on this thing. And I must say, Chair, we as Committee of Water and Environment, the first time to argue with the administration on such issues. We don't know this thing. In our committee, we deal with issues, we agree. Where there are no agreements, we sit down and iron them up. But we don't delay the meetings and dilly-dallying and talking what and what. We just wanted clarity. If there is something hidden, let that expose to us. But if maybe it's not suffice to be exposed here, then at the political level, let's get a sense of what is happening in this place. But for now, Chair, really, it's either we move or we withdraw from this meeting.
We are not going to withdraw from this meeting. I'm stressing it again. We continue. It's a political decision. We all agree with as members. We are not here in competition with the department. If the opportunities were not used at relevant platforms, then for us to be able to continue, then it's unfortunate. We are at a point where we are concluding this now. Honorable Mangela.
I'm fully supporting you that we should continue. This is what we have done. We have compromised a lot. So let's proceed. Thank you.
Thank you. These amendments will then be reflected in the regulations as well. I want to see that in writing, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to see the amendments. Okay, next issue. I think we should be close to the end now. No, this is the one we did. Next one? Okay, there.
This is the section that we inserted.
This is just a consequential amendment.
No, this is a section that we have done in the National Environmental Management Second Amendment Act. It's consequential in the sense that we also need it there. Because you can't really restrict or prohibit an activity in an area under the National Environmental Management Act, but then you allow that activity to be licensed under the Waste Act. So we have just did that the very same section that was in.
So it's amending another act to fall in line with what we're doing here. It's a consequential amendment. Okay, that's fine. Consequential amendments are fine. I mean, they have to take place. Okay, next one.
We have just given the Minister of Mineral Resources, it's a consequential amendment, the power to delegate the functions under the National Environmental Management Waste Act.
Okay.
And then we have improved the transitional provisions under the Amendment Act so that they just read better. But we also made provision for where decisions was made or when a person applied for a mining license or a mining permit under the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Act, and this act comes into effect that they can continue with that process under the previous act, as if it's not amended. It's for in process.
What happens at the end of the year, December? I've got no problem with what you're suggesting, because clearly if something started under another act, you wanted to continue. But remember, in December, a whole lot of things are going to kick in on that act. What happens then if there's an overlap between the two acts? Have you guys looked at that, or won't there be a problem? There won't be an overlap.
Chairperson, in my mind, what we have said as a department for ourselves, if we do not amend that section this morning, which you suggested that I change to amend that section, if we do not do that, then we will bring this bill or this act in effect on the same date.
No, you can't do that. That means you're going to have to let this act lie there until December. Why would you want to wait for this act till December? Everything in this act can be implemented. Otherwise, you keep an old regime going until December, then you take away some clauses that would have taken the environment back to us repeal that. But you don't have to wait till then. Last time we had this discussion, I said you don't have to wait till December. You can implement this immediately. The only question I'm asking you is, you're saying with the transitional provisions, you're going to let the old act run and then the new one come into operation. And I'm saying that if you kick away in December, did you guys just check that if there is that there's no lacuna we're leaving there? If you're saying you haven't got an answer, that's fine. You can then think about it. But I think that you guys must, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, neither Minerals or the Department of Environment want December to happen. Because if December happens, then this whole agreement becomes null and void, because everything comes back to environment. So you don't want it to happen. So I imagine in Minerals legislation that they're going to repeal some of those clauses that deals with the powers moving back and forth. Otherwise, we're going to have a problem if we don't do that, because we're going to have two regimes. So that is what I said. You guys must check with Minerals and make sure that that's been done. This question I'm asking is a different one. Is that if you let two regimes run, at some stage, of course, it will become only one. But did you guys check that there's not going to be a lacuna at any stage if one part of the older act falls away later in December? So that's all you must check for us, okay? Just make sure. You can check with Minerals and just talk and say, if there isn't, then clearly you must create a transitional arrangement. Okay. Next one.
Thank you, Chair. That is all from me. There's one outstanding clause that they have
It's 31D. I've looked at that. I've just suggested one change to it. Because in principle, it's also an intervention clause with inspectorate. They can put it up.
Yes,
what the issue is, remember we said because we're giving environment's powers to Minerals, when they don't exercise this timelessly, then there must be a chance for intervention. Now this one here is with the inspectorate. We haven't gone as far with this intervention as we've gone with others, because this is a more practical intervention. I mean, this is practical stuff. It's compliance. Are there warm bodies to do certain things? So what we've provided for here is firstly to say that if there's no capacity in the department to do this job properly, particularly the first few months now, then the two ministers can agree in concurrence that our department will help theirs. Okay? So that's just a concurrent agreement. The second thing is, but what happens if someone complains and says the Department of Minerals is not enforcing the compliance procedures? So what we've provided for here is an intervention clause, but I said it doesn't go so far as with other clauses, because what we've said is that that person can ask the minister what is the delay is. Then if they're not happy with the response, then they can launch a request to our minister to say, please deal with this matter. And then what we've created is a consultation process and an in-concurrence process where the two ministers can then try and sort out the non-compliance. And then the only thing I've added is that because it's a complaint, the last clause should at least say you must report back to the complainant and say what has been done. So I think it's just fair to put that. So you can see this clause, we don't allow the other minister to take over. We allow it to, because we want to create, it's a capacity issue. We want them to build it together. So we let everything happen in concurrence, but we also not allow, if people complain and say, but the department is not doing something, to let nothing happen. So we've only gone that far, but I think for now it's far enough. Everyone happy with that?
Yeah.
Department's happy with that as well? That was the only amendment that we had to reword, okay? Is that it? That's everything. Now, I see you guys have got nothing from Mineral side, but are we all happy with both departments are happy with the amendments in the Minerals Act, whatever new amendments have been made there? You're all happy with that and there's no problems there? But did someone send any emails around? No emails from your department to them? So you're all happy with all the amendments in this Act, so there's nothing we have to go through in the Minerals Act. So basically what this will mean, if we go through these amendments, plus the amendments the minerals people make, if you go through that, what this will mean now is that all issues of environment is now in one piece of legislation, not in two anymore. It's in the environment legislation. That's why we had to make all these amendments. And what that means now, from now on, is that all decisions in mining will be made in terms of this legislation. But, as we've said, the big change is that we've made the minister the permanent competent authority to make those decisions. And then we've created an appeal procedure, if you're unhappy with those decisions, that minister, the way that she is, or he, in the future maybe, applying those procedures that you're not happy with it, then there's an appeal procedure which comes to the Minister of Environment. So that is, if you take these two amendments of these two pieces of legislation, that is where we are. Then, of course, there's a whole lot of regulations that have also been amended, which we're not going to go through today. We're just going to be given the one on the amendment stuff. That I'll give you a copy as soon as I get it. But the same amendment we did for the legislation we need to make for the regulation. So we capture the same. So we'll just send you that one. We have gone through... as a committee through those amendments to our regulations, and everyone's happy with it. And in the end, if you take both that legislation and the regulations, then this is what you get. This nice picture. All that problems we had now, you get a nice picture like this, okay? Now, that is two departments finished. Now the third department, water. Now, I was going to be very angry when I said things now, but I've cooled myself down, I've decided I'm not going to be angry, because I specially put aside time last Wednesday evening in my home, spend not time with my family to meet with my two departments, to go through all these things. I said to them, I want you, the people from water that was there, I said to them, I want you to now go and sit down with the Department of Environment and everything you had to do, go through your things with them and make sure that your wording is the same as this wording. So that we don't have, I mean, you'll see now if I tell you what the problem is. Here we have now special wording about its lists of activities within the area, it's prospecting, da-da-da-da-da-da. So I say this to the Department of Water that was there. I say, you and the Department of Environment must now go and sit down and agree to all your amendments, look through them and see that the two are harmonized. Through God, I today get documents on my desk. These things have been half done, but as I expected, where we talk about things, they talk about mineral resource authorization. Now, in this whole few months we've been dealing, we've never talked about mineral resource authorizations, but now in this legislation we have to now deal with new concepts. And that is exactly why I met with you last Wednesday, to say to the two departments, sit down. Now, I want you to be clear on this. The Department of Water, I want to be clear, I want you to both go back to your ministers and say, are now holding back this process. They're holding back this. I want to say that publicly. Because I don't know how many times we fought with that department. I mean, we had a fight here in Mark's building with them one day about these things. But now I want to give the responsibility. I'm not actually going to sit and have these hassles anymore. It's clear now that the delay, this thing has to go and be done properly. We can't discuss it yet today. Because what is its use? In principle, these things are fine. I haven't got a problem because there's not big amendments here. But if you don't do it technically like that, then we have to sit down and so on. Now, I put the onus back, and that's why I'm so angry with this department, more with them, because I've given up on them. But with you, I'm really angry, because I sat in my house with you and said to you, go and check this stuff and make sure that it's correct and that it's in line with what we're doing. I now give you the task. You take their legislation, and they do with whatever they want to with it. But you bring it in line with the wording of our stuff, so that I can give it to both committees and say to them, I'm happy now with this, this is here. This is not rocket science. There's no amendments here, really. The only amendments is about appeals.
It's a simple technical amendment. But now we're using words like, as I said, decline of the water use license for mineral resource authorizations in terms of the applicable mineral resource. Now, if you get it like that, we're in trouble. Because if anyone reads this, they don't know what you're talking about in that legislation because completely different wording is used there. So I want you to go and sort this out. I can't table this in all honesty in front of the committee because I don't think it's ready to be tabled. So that's why I'm saying this process now is being delayed by that department. We are not meeting again before next Tuesday or Wednesday. So you must fix it up before then. Then
can we request that before you move on? Can we request that these copies then be returned because I think each of the members got their copies.
They can keep it if they want to, but it's quite useless.
But I think
but
it must come back to minimize the confusion.
You can even return it, that's fine.
Yes.
It'll help you because then you don't have the reading. Now, some of the other stuff that department has done, in fact, I got an email today from the law advisor, whoever, Mrs. van der Merwe, who says that the Department of Water went there and if they want us to help, they prepare to help. Now, I want you also then to draw in Mrs. van der Merwe. Chileka, you go with them and tell them it's on my authority because they're doubting in the email it's on my authority. That what we want you to do is between that section in the law advisor plus this department, plus that water department, to go and do what I asked them last Wednesday to do, sit down and make sure that this wording is all correct and that all the amendments are there. Can we please now do this? This is now delaying this process. Okay. Is the committee's happy with that?
Maybe.
I can't see how we can do it in any other way. What that will mean then on next Tuesday or Wednesday is whatever we've asked them to clean up yet now, is next Tuesday or Wednesday, we'll now just sit, chair, and just go through all those things technically, not with all the discussions we've had now, and just say we're happy, we're happy, we're happy. Then that'll be finished, and we will then be able to say, now we can send all these things to political parties to go and get the mandates from their caucuses. Everyone happy with that?
Yes, but could you please just make sure that we get our copies before that meeting?
No, absolutely. You'll get it. I'm trusting that this department will now ensure that this thing is done today or tomorrow so that we can give it long before next Tuesday or Wednesday. Okay. Everyone happy with that? All right. Water, you as well. You heard? I know you weren't there on Wednesday evening. So in your defense, I've heard when I asked the Department of Environment, why didn't you do this? They told me that the Department of Water said they'll do this on their own. Which, you know, again, as I said, was going to make me spitting mad. But I've just decided it's just not worth it. I now just write off that department because they clearly are not interested in operating with this committee. We're doing you a favor, by the way. We are passing a committee bill for your department, not for us. We're doing you the favor. So I don't want you to even respond to it. All I wanted to say is, will you this time make sure that it's an instruction, not just of the chairperson, but of both committees, that you now go and sit down and get the wording right of these things, get it and sort it out with the law advisors before next Tuesday or Wednesday when we meet. Everyone got that? Thank you, Mr. Singh.
That's fine, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. All right. Now, that I think is all the issues that we've gone through. As I say, we will just tighten up things next Wednesday, Tuesday. Before that, we'll give you this water stuff to check, and then we'll be at a state at least where we can take it to the partner. And likewise, I imagine your legislation will be part of that process. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think from here on, the processes will be going their own ways. We're hoping that this report, we will have adopted it at least around about the 18th of February. And with what we've gone through, I take it that from my committee members, we're happy. We can now go start processing other areas of the Act. But certainly, we have requested also that instead of just passing the MPRDA as a report in Parliament, that we rather have the debate. And then thereafter have the necessary support on the Act. There's also just to make you aware, the thinking of the committee that we perhaps look at separating, because there's a lot more issues that are coming in now in relation to oil, shale and gas. that also perhaps have a thinking of developing an act separate from the Mineral Resources and Petroleum Development Act. But that will be a process that would unfold in the new parliament. But with the changes that we've made with environment, I think we're more than happy. We will process the environmental issues as we've received them from each other now, and we can continue with the other areas or other sections that need to be looked into of the bill. Thank you very much for your cooperation.
You, thanks for all your hard work and cooperation. Can I also just say we've also identified, Chair, not just shale gas and so on, but also marine mining as a matter which we think is not regulated and so on. And you can imagine if we don't regulate the marine mining properly, those businesses will just go into the sea and just destroy everything. Because, I mean, if you start digging up sand and thing in the sea, you can imagine if it's not properly regulated. Now, we've already given our committee, we passed a resolution that they must go and do all the proper research on this. I don't know how far they are. They haven't given a report back. We haven't asked for one. But just to say that, I think, should be added to the shale gas and that the whole area of marine mining is completely and utterly unregulated. It's going to create huge problems.
Perhaps in that light as well, we should look at the fact that there's developments are already around shale gas, and yet we haven't sat down about any issue. That whatever processes or developments are there already should actually be stopped. And we as Parliament should actually find a way of talking to each other to ensure that that happens. And until such time that we come to a conclusion or we come to the detailed work of developing a separate act, nothing should be processed.
Okay. Can we ask then that thanks our colleagues from Mineral Resources for participating. I just want to raise one or two things with environment, but you can adjourn if you want to. Or are you staying?
Yes, staying.
Oh, you're staying. Okay, well then I... then you've...
I think we can go out for 5 or 10 minutes.
No.
Okay.
Just from our side, I'm still trying to check for next week whether we're meeting Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't work out clearly this training program they have for members, where they're trying to tell you how you're going to leave Parliament, your pension, and so on. They've got that for next week, but they set it down for 3 days, which seems illogical. So I'm not sure yet with us. So we definitely won't meet tomorrow. But we'll check on, and so if we do come back on Tuesday or Wednesday, doesn't matter, we'll firstly finish all this stuff, including the water stuff, and then we'll continue with the waste bill. Okay, remember they're going to make a, and that bill already we've also said if your amendments are not ready by Tuesday, Wednesday next week, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Just be aware that Mineral Resources in the main won't be sitting next week. But there's also the issue of the mining in Durban with us. Okay.
Well, we wouldn't necessarily have to meet again because we've processed
stuff, yeah.
So we just need that regulation and all the things cleaned up that was cleaned up today, okay?
Great.
Right. Anything else from both either of the committees? Okay, then environment, you can leave Minerals so that they can keep working. Sorry, someone may have left a diary. I'm just going to check in here quickly to see. Oh, you're very lucky. You're very lucky. I'm going to see which boyfriend you're going to meet in Cape Town.
Oh,